Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Samuel chapter number 9, and I've preached out of this text before, but I want to give you a little thought here today with the help of the Lord, and you pray for us as we preach. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Hey, I want you to be faithful tonight. I want you to come to church tonight. And some of you will remember years ago, I preached a message out of Acts chapter number 28 when the serpent came out of the fire. Paul was putting sticks on the fire, and the serpent came out of the fire and fastened on Paul. And Paul shook it back off into the fire and kept going. And I preached a message out of that years ago on, I've been bitten, but I ain't quitting. And I'm going to go back and revisit some of those thoughts tonight. I've got a lot of new stuff that I've never dealt with in it that I'm going to give you tonight also. But I really want you to come tonight. And let me just say this to you, and I don't want to get into the message tonight. But if you do anything for the Lord, I promise you the devil's going to rise up against you. And the devil's going to try his best to discourage you and to defeat you and to cause you to throw in the towel and quit. Here's the reason why. If you're saved, the devil knows he can't do nothing about your salvation. The devil can't get my salvation. I'm saved. I'll never be lost again. There'll never be a time that I'm not saved. Somebody give me a witness if you're saved. But you know what the devil can do? He can crawl up on my back and make me want to quit. And if he can't get my salvation, the next best thing to that is to cause me to quit. And boy, I don't want to do that. I want to stay faithful, amen? So you make sure you're here tonight. Look with me, 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was one of the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness of God, that I might show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame of his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness, for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat, but Mephibosheth, the master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 3 servants, or had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat bread or eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Father, I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you would help us today. I pray, God, that as we look into your word, Father, that we will recall the things that we've studied. I pray, God, Father, Lord, that you would help us today. God, help the words that's uttered from my mouth, God, to be ordained by you. God, I pray that people wouldn't see me, and God, that they wouldn't hear me today, but God, that they would see and hear you through me today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into this chapter for just a little while today and preach to you just a little bit on the life of Mephibosheth. I'm sure that if you've been in church any time at long or any time at any length, or if you have read your Bible much at all, if you've studied the life of David much at all, you've come across this man by the name of Mephibosheth. Now, let me look at some things by way of introduction. Know what the Bible says in verse number 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? David says that he would like to show him kindness or loyalty or love, a loyal love or a loving kindness, or can I say it this way? David says that he would like to show someone grace and mercy for Jonathan's sake. When you study the life of Mephibosheth, you see his lineage. He is of the house of Saul. You see his lameness. He was lame on both of his feet. But then you also see his location. Where is he at? He is in Lodabar. That word Lodabar means pastureless, and it describes a place of desolation. We find Mephibosheth, the grandson of King Saul, living in a place of desolation. There was a time in Mephibosheth's boyhood, we could say this, when he didn't have a worry in the world. After all, his grandfather was King Saul, yet his entire world would change with the tragedy of one single day. His whole life would change. His whole world would be turned upside down. His stand became a fall. His ease became a struggle. His mountains turned into deserts and valleys. Saul's home was in Gibbeth, which means the hill. But Mephibosheth ends up in Lodabar, in a place of no pasture. His security becomes insecurity. His comfort becomes pain. You know, isn't it amazing how the turn of one event in one day can just completely devastate our life and turn the direction of our life? Here is the grandson of Saul, the grandson of a mighty king, and now he's living in Lodabar. Really, when you see this by the end of the message, afraid of even living because of what King David could do to him. The life of Mephibosheth could be summed up this way. The crown, he would never wear it. The cripple, he would never walk. The castaway, he had no worth. When you look at it, there was a day that he could have possibly had a crown, but now there's no crown. There was a day that he could walk, and we'll see that by the end of the message, but now he is crippled because of a fall. You'll find him, he's no longer living at the king's palace, but he is a castaway in Lodabar. I wrote this down during Sunday school this morning while Brother Stan was preaching on helps out of the book of Corinthians. I did listen some. But my mind was going, man, so fast. I wrote this down this morning. The condition of Mephibosheth did not change the compassion of David. The condition of Mephibosheth. Man, Mephibosheth's in a mess. Mephibosheth's in Lodabar. Mephibosheth is a castaway. Oh, but David did not look at Mephibosheth as a castaway. Can I tell you, now this is a whole other message, but I've got to just mention it in passing. Can I tell you the only reason that David wanted to show compassion to Mephibosheth? It had nothing to do with Saul, but it did have to do with Jonathan. You see, David and Jonathan had a covenant with each other, and David is going to show Mephibosheth kindness, not because of who he is and not because of what he done, but he's going to do it because of someone else. Can I just say this to you today? When I was in a lost condition, God didn't show me kindness on my behalf, but it was because of someone else, and it wasn't Jonathan, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the life of Mephibosheth, and we'll go home. Number one, I want you to see this. Mephibosheth's life was ruined by a fall. It was ruined by a fall. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this in verse number 3. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I might show him the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame of his feet. Can I say this? He was crippled by a fall. The problem with Mephibosheth, he was ruined. He was crippled by a fall. I began to study that, and here's what I found out about that. I want you to take your Bible and go back to chapter number 4 of 2 Samuel. Flip back just a couple pages. 2 Samuel chapter number 4. I'm going to read you one verse. 2 Samuel chapter number 4, verse number 4. The Bible said this, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. Well, you know who that is, don't you? We just read about him over there in chapter number 9. That's Mephibosheth. Now watch what your Bible said. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. The Bible said this, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. You hear me tell you when Mephibosheth became lame? It was in chapter number 4, verse number 4, when his nurse had him and was running, and I don't have time to go into all that, but was running, and what does she do? She drops Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth becomes lame because of that. So can I just say it this way? He was ruined from a fall, but that fall was the result of someone else. Some of you that knows your Bible is starting to get on board with me now. It was because of someone else. Why is Mephibosheth in the condition he's in? It's because of the fall of someone else. Hear me and hear me well today. You may tell you the reason that we're in the condition we are in today. It's because of the fall of someone else. If we go back now just let me clarify something. Let me just clarify this because of the day and age that we live in. It's not always somebody else's fault. You need to learn to take some personal responsibility. Your life might be in a mess because of the dumb decisions you made. Well, no. Nobody stuck a gun to your head. You made dumb decisions and now you got dumb results. Live with it. You might as well holler amen or I'll preach 2 hours. Are you with me? That's just truth. But in this case, and when it comes to the very first sin entered into the world, it was because of the fall of someone else. We go to Genesis chapter number 3. You know what we find in Genesis chapter number 3?
We find that Adam and Eve is living in a perfect world, that everything's going just fine, that nothing is wrong with them. And what happens to them, man? They fall a prey to sin. Satan deceives them, and they fall to that. What did the Bible say in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Mephibosheth is ruined by a fall. And each one of us sitting in this room today, whether we want to admit it or not, are ruined by a fall. Number two, he's not only ruined by a fall. Watch this with me. He was removed to a far country. Mephibosheth ends up leaving from the king's palace, if you want to say it that way. And he is, according to the Bible, in verse number 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Makar, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. In Lodabar. Mephibosheth lived in the house of Makar. And here's what that means. It means sold. That's what it means. And can I just say this to you today? Again, his condition was not his fault. He was in this mess because of the fall of someone else. I want you to understand something with me today. Because of the fall of someone else, we have been removed from the fellowship that was once had with God. Adam and Eve had a great fellowship with God. Matter of fact, Adam and Eve quite possibly had a fellowship with God like no one else has ever experienced since then. We could say so much about those first few chapters of God walking with them in the cool of the day and talking with them in the cool of the day. Man, they lived in a great relationship with God Almighty. But because of the fall, because of sin, there is a separation between them and God now. I want to say something to you today, church. Because of sin, there's a separation between us and God today. Because of sin. Let me tell you what the result of sin is. Yes, if you don't get forgiveness of it and ask Christ to come into your heart and save you, it's a place called hell. But can I say this to you? For us, it's saved today. The results of sin, there is a barrier put between us and God. The Bible said this in Romans chapter number 7, verse number 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. Mephibosheth lived in Lodabar, the place of barrenness. Life without Jesus Christ is barren also. You have no true peace, joy, security, or purpose for living. We are barren without Christ. I listened to a man give his testimony last night. And as he began giving his testimony last night, he got saved in 1991. Out of alcoholism, and as he began giving his testimony, he said, after that, there was a peace that came in my life that I never knew I had before. He said, I really can't explain it. It's kind of like a peace that passeth all understanding. If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that peace is. I don't know what that joy is. Hear me and hear me well. You'll never find it in Lodabar. You'll never find it in this world. Oh, but I sure am glad that there's a God in heaven that'll come to your far country in the midst of your fall. Which leads me to the next point, number three. Mephibosheth was reached by the king. Mephibosheth, nowhere do we find that Mephibosheth went looking for the king. And I don't want to ruin the end of the message, but I'm going to say a little bit about it. He didn't want to see the king. Treason. He said, I'm a dead dog when he fell in front of him. He bowed. When he got to David, he bowed in front of him and said, I'm a dead dog. You know what he was saying to David? He said, I'm not going to do anything to harm your dynasty, is what he's saying. But watch this. Nowhere do we find that Mephibosheth goes running looking for the king. Nowhere do we find that Mephibosheth drives himself to the king's palace and requests a meeting with him. Know what your Bible said? Look what your Bible said again in verse number 1. He said this. David said, is there not any that is left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Look what he said in verse number 5. Then King David sent and fetched him. You see, Mephibosheth wasn't looking for the king, but the king was looking for Mephibosheth. And can I just... there's a rabbit just jumped up, and I really try my best not to chase him anymore, but I'm going to chase this one real quick. David, two different times, talks about fetching someone. The first one's right here in chapter number 9, and he fetches Mephibosheth out of a heart of love, and God blesses him for it. The next time he fetches someone is in chapter number 11, and it's out of a heart of lust. He fetches Bathsheba and brings her in, and you know the story, and God curses him and judges him over that. You better fetch the right thing for the right reason. Can I just say that again? You better fetch the right thing for the right reason. And right here in chapter number 9, he's fetching Mephibosheth. I like that word. I talk in biblical terms to my dog when I tell it to fetch. Somebody say amen. Watch this. Mephibosheth, I thought about this. I got a bunch of stuff wrote down. I need to get back to that, but I thought about this. Mephibosheth couldn't go to the king by himself. He couldn't. Let me tell you the reason why. He's lame. He couldn't get to him. Oh, but aren't you glad that when you realize the condition that you was in, when you was living in a place of no pasture, when you was living in a place of desolation, oh, the world may have said that you've got everything figured out. You may have been living it big, quote unquote, in the world, but deep down inside, there was a void. There was no peace. There was no joy. Aren't you thankful when you couldn't go to where he was at that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to where you was at? Oh yes, he was reached by the king. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this: for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. David fetched Mephibosheth. David fetched Mephibosheth. David was the one that reached out. I understand. Stay with me. I understand what we say sometimes when we say this. Well, I went to church that night because I was looking for something. I was looking for peace. I was looking for joy. I was looking for happiness. I was looking for the Lord. I sure am glad that night I found him at church. I understand what we're saying. Okay, I'm not criticizing that statement. But can I critique that statement a little bit? The only reason that you went looking for him is because he came looking for you first. There was something inside of you that was not normal that said, go to church. Something inside said, maybe they are right. Maybe it is true. Maybe there is something better to life. Maybe there is a peace that I've never experienced. Let me tell you what that was. That wasn't coincidence. That wasn't eating too much pizza late at night. That wasn't going to the Mexican restaurant at midnight. I'm telling you what that was. That was a Holy Ghost of God that came to where you was at in spite of the condition that you was in and the place that you was located and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We was fetched, or we was reached by the king. Number four, I'm done. He was ruined by a fall. He was removed to a far country. He was reached by the king. I want you to see this in closing. Look what the Bible said in verse number 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Look what he says in verse number 10. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring it in the fruit, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. I want you to see something in closing. Number four, not only was he ruined by fall and removed to a far country and reached by a king. I preached all morning to get right here. He was restored to full fellowship. Everything that was his grandfather Saul was given back to him. Now, I want to say this to you. What a picture of grace. If you don't understand manners and customs, you don't understand what I just said. So allow me, come start playing so they have hope. Allow me 5 minutes to give you the whole point of the message. Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul, and he was a legitimate threat as grandson to the former king, son of Jonathan, which was Saul's heir, and surviving member of a royal lineage. Mephibosheth represented a potential rival to David's throne in the eyes of ancient culture. His existence alone could spark rebellion. Men loyal to Saul could gather around him. Some would argue he had the right and the rightful claim to the throne of Saul. David, following typical practices, would have been culturally justified in eliminating Mephibosheth. Let me put that in low gap terms. Killing him. Dead. Kill him. This was the practice of that day. Matter of fact, if you study 1 Kings 15, you'll find that Baasha destroys the entire house of Jeroboam. You'll find in 1 Kings 16 that Zimri destroys Baasha's descendants. You'll find in 2 Kings 10 that Jeru destroys the house of Ahab. These men acted in line with the standard and the expectations of a newly established king. The new king, if there was anybody else left from the former dynasty, would destroy them, would kill them. That was the way it was in that day. When Mephibosheth is brought before David in 2 Samuel 9, he falls to his face and says this, why is thy servant, what is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Dead dog, here's what he's saying. I know I deserve to die. I know I'm of the former dynasty. I expect no mercy. This was the voice of a man who fully understood the manners and the customs of that day. Can I just say to you today, when we look at God, we should say the same thing. I know I deserve to die. I don't deserve your kindness. I don't deserve to be in your presence. I don't deserve to talk to you. I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve your... David's mercy became even more shocking when you understand the complete cultural backdrop. David's actions explode with meaning. Watch this. He didn't kill Mephibosheth as expected. He didn't banish him as common. He didn't make him a servant. He didn't keep him under guard, but instead, he restored his inheritance. He brought him to Jerusalem. He set him at the king's table. He treated him as one of the king's very own son. This is unheard of grace in a beautiful picture of the grace that God shows to us. David did not mention his handicap. Did you catch what I just said? Nowhere in 2 Samuel chapter number 9 does David mention one thing about his handicap. He don't say, oh yeah, you bow down there. The reason you're bowed down there is because you're lame of your feet and you can't stand up. He don't mention. I wish you'd get a hold of what I'm saying. He don't mention one thing about being crippled from the fall of someone else. David didn't mention the handicap. He totally accepted Mephibosheth. Totally accepted him the way that he was. In verse number 7, look what it says. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table. Look at this last word, continually. In verse number 7, all of Mephibosheth's needs are met. Fear not, that's his mental need. I will show you kindness, that's his emotional need. I will restore your inheritance, that's his physical need. Thou shalt eat bread at my table, not just any table, but at the table of the king. All three needs are continually and permanently met when Mephibosheth bows before the king. Every need that you have can be met when you bow before the king. Can I show you something? The Bible said this, that Mephibosheth ate at the king's table as one of his sons. As one of his sons. Very threat to him that could overtake the kingdom. Set him at his table. I got to thinking about that. You know, everywhere Mephibosheth went, everywhere around the palace, everywhere with whomever he went, his fault was always recognized. He was lame of his feet. It was evident. But there was one place that you couldn't see. There was one place that you couldn't see the crippledness of Mephibosheth. And you know where that was at? At the king's table. Because when he sat down at the king's table and rolled up underneath the king's table and set his hands up on the table and began to eat at the king's table, it didn't matter who walked through that door. All they seen was one of the king's sons sitting at the king's table. Aren't you glad? I wish you'd get what I'm preaching to you. Aren't you glad that when we come to him and we sit down at the king's table, that all of our faults and all of our failures and all of our mishaps can all be put away when we can sit around the king's table. And when people walk by, they go, well, you know what? That must be one of the king's kids right there. I don't see anything wrong with them. I don't see any fault with them. Why? Because they see us at the king's table. David didn't give Mephibosheth what he deserved. That was death. David gave him what he never expected. And that was grace. Aren't you glad that the king does not give us what we deserve, and that's death. But he gives us what we never expected, and that was grace.